Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. The age of heroes has dawned and the quest for optimal wellness continues here tonight on Herculean Physique and our guest, Ryan Foley. Greetings and welcome, Ryan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, and based on your description that you shared, I'm looking forward to learning and drinking in every word.
Well, good, good. I'm glad to hear it. Just real fast, boy, I know Thanksgiving is going to be upon us here pretty soon, and so I'm really looking forward to that, and I hope that you are and your family is as well. And I know this can be a really tough time for a lot of people, just because we're dealing with so much. We've survived Halloween, and now we're going to move into Thanksgiving, and we're going to move into Christmas. And so this could be a time where there's a lot of extra calories out there floating around, but that's absolutely fine. I think it's one of those things where it's great to go through and optimize your program, but then I also think you also need to optimize your wellness. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk with the audience about tonight, the first question that I want everyone to consider before you decide to start a program is, why do you want to do it? It's really one of the first and single most important questions that you can ask yourself. Do you want to lose a few pounds? Do you want to get stronger? Do you want to get bigger? Do you want to get leaner? And if so, why? Because finding the answers to these questions is important because it's going to dictate your training style. And I think to the uninitiated, they may not understand that this truly is a science. The way you go through and the style that you lift and the amount of weight that you're choosing to do, that's going to dictate the type of body that you're going to build. And so I've been pretty open and honest on here about how I started my training from a fairly negative place because I didn't like my physical appearance. Yeah, I think that's an honest assessment that a lot of people can relate to. And that is a place that a lot of people are going to start from. And I've been on this journey for 9 years now. And if I could go back, I would tell myself, it's better to build a desire to be healthy. And that's what I've been trying to move towards because getting at a place where you look your absolute best might not mean that you are at your healthiest. And so that's really what I've noticed this shift, especially within the last couple of years, where it's about me trying to go through and to develop a really healthy place. So for instance, if you were to say, I want to be healthy so I can pick up my grandkids, I think that's a very honorable goal. You might use those grandkids as motivation to squeeze out one or two more reps that you might have otherwise left on the table. But what's your motivation to get you to those first, 12 reps? And so it has to be something that you want. I think that's the single most important factor. So it can't be something because this is what society says that it wants you to be or because someone else wants you to be. And so it has to be something that you want, that you desire. And we've talked about this on here where I happen to feel that the classic physique, the classic bodybuilder physique, is the most attractive for a male aesthetic. So that's what I've been attempting to create. And so in going through and doing this, what I found is that one of the greatest keys to success is going to be consistency. I think consistency is one of the single most important things, and it's the reason why so many fad diets fail. So here it was a few years ago, my son decided to do this potato diet where that's all you eat is just potatoes for I can't remember how long it was supposed to be. And he was just absolutely miserable. But the idea behind it was supposed to kickstart or reset your metabolism. And, so he told me about it, and I didn't really believe in it, but I had to let him try, and I had to let him fail. So he kind of had to figure that out for himself, because if you're going to go through and you're going to do something, it has to be something that you can do forever. So you're not necessarily on a diet. What you're doing is you're developing a lifestyle. And so now it's gotten to a point now where bodybuilding is just my lifestyle. This is, I mean, I'm in the gym anywhere from 6 to 7 days a week. And so now it's gotten to a point where it is just ingrained in me. And so I can't imagine going back. And so I'll bring this concept back around when I talk about one of the motivations that we're using. But so you need a program that you can build, you know, consistently and stick with, and because I do think that that's how you succeed. And at the same time, all exercise is good exercise. There's a theory that gets floated around, and people may see it in like forums or you know, on subreddits and things like that, where people are using the term CICO, and the people who are just getting started may not realize what that is. And so CICO is just, it's calories in versus calories out. So that's how you lose weight. It's a really simple calculus, and it's the only way to lose weight. And to do that, so you can either eat less or you can move more. And so that's what I choose to do, is to move more. I choose to lift weights. I love lifting weights, and I wish I could look like a superhero. But even if I never get to that level, I'm enjoying the journey that I'm on. And so mainly what I want to do is I want people to stay motivated. I want them to hear these ideas that I'm bringing to them, and hopefully they can incorporate it into their own programs. So with all that in mind, I wanted to present two main ideas. And so these two tenets might help keep your listeners a little bit better prepared to go through and to continue on with their journey. And so it's also one of the reasons why I find weightlifting to be so motivational. And one of the reasons why is because you can physically track improvement with data. So you're going to have hard evidence. And so here a few months ago, you and I talked about how I discovered the weight area in my gym that I referred to as the dungeon. It was basically, it's the back room, no air conditioning, no climate control, a lot of big, heavy weights. And so it's very Spartan, no carpet, you know, no music, anything. So it's just, that's what I refer to it as, is the dungeon. And so back on Sunday the 12th, I had the gym all to myself. And I want you to keep in mind that I've been doing a lot of leg training, but not necessarily deadlift training. And so back before COVID, at the old gym that I was at before I made the transition to the one that I'm at now, the most that I had ever deadlifted was 405 pounds. And because the way they had their weights configured, you know, it was the most that I could put on a trap bar. And so when I found the dungeon, that's where they keep their trap bars. It's basically a big diamond that you can stand inside. And I've always felt that to be a little bit more comfortable for me as opposed to using a straight bar for my deadlift. And they have the heavy plate. And I just wanted to know if I still had it, because I was really concerned that, you know, COVID had caused me some issues, or that maybe, you know, I was getting older and, you know, I was afraid that I didn't have it anymore. And so I had the gym all to myself. So I went through and I did the math of which configuration I needed. And I put 410 pounds on that trap bar and lifted it clean. So that 410-pound deadlift, it's the most weight I've ever done, ever. And so I have now exceeded where I was at before COVID and when we had the collapse and everyone had – and I was afraid that I had lost so much after I had taken that time off while gyms were being shut down. And so then it was this really weird – I experienced this tremendous high – because I had literally lifted the most weight I had ever lifted. And so I was excited. So there was no one there to hear my woos and, you know, my celebrations. And, you know, so because I was very happy. I was excited for what I had accomplished. And I had a little bit of a crash there because I didn't have anyone to celebrate with. You know, there was no one to give me a high five, or no one, you know, for me to hug. And it just, so I could hear my mother's voice you know, which, you know, sitting there in my ear. And my mom always said, you know, you can have the nicest house and you can have, you know, the fancy toys and all that sort of stuff. But if you don't have anyone to share it with, ultimately it feels, you know, kind of hollow. And she's right. She is. She's absolutely right. But then, so I just had to, I let that feeling wash over me, a little bit of sadness, and then rebounded from it. And so then I was back. I was happy again. So it was this tremendous accomplishment of going through and lifting an amount of weight that you have never lifted before. And so then going back and looking at my notes, so on Tuesday, I was still feeling the effects of just that one lift. And keep in mind that, I'm sorry, but so when I went up there, I had warmed up just a little bit, and then I just did that one lift. Set it back down, and then I went through it and I did a little bit I did a little bit of working out after that. One lift that I had to do required so much energy that, again, looking back on my notes, on Tuesday, I was still feeling the effects of that one lift. And it took until Wednesday before I was ready to train my legs again. And even then, I did everything except deadlifts. I wasn't about ready to go back to it. So I tremendously believe in volume training. That's where I'm training anywhere from 6 to 7 days a week. And aside from that, warming up for that deadlift, I had no other leg exercises really before it. So here I am feeling this effect days afterwards. So the trade-off is that I was infused with this tremendous sense of accomplishment because of what I had done. COVID didn't beat me. You know, I'm still getting better despite the fact that I'm older than I was, you know, back when I did 405. And that one lift infused my emotional well-being. And so it inspired me to keep going. But then the trade-off was, in order to do that one lift, I had to go through, and now I have to start doing the analysis. And it's like, okay, so, man, that one lift caused me pain. You know, really, it was if I've got a weakness, and so if you have recommendations for this, let me know, because I felt like my legs were strong. I didn't have any issues with my knees. My calves were okay, but it's going to be in my lower back. That's the area that I'm now going to have to strengthen if I'm going to try to go beyond 410. So this was me putting in a tremendous amount of effort, but then it under normal circumstances, that one lift might have sidelined me for a couple of days. So then I have to go through and I have to make the decision, okay, so what's more beneficial for me? Is it better for that one max lift that took me 3 days to recover from, or is it better for me to put in more work spread out across Monday, Tuesday, and a Wednesday after that? So but going through and throwing in those personal records, throwing in those personal bests, going for a lift that you have never lifted before, it fills you with such a tremendous amount of emotional energy. That the positivity that radiates from it, even though it did keep me sidelined from my legs for a couple of days afterwards, it instills within you that sense of confidence. It instills within you that level, you know, where you're so excited because you're like, holy cow, I've lifted more weight than I ever have. And so again, it took me 9 years of training to get to this level. But I don't want people to focus so much on the weight. That's the amount of the weight. I don't really care about that. I'm more impressed by someone who's putting in 95% of their effort and only lifting 100 pounds more than a guy who can lift 400 pounds, but he's only lifting 200. So it's whatever that number is for you. For people to go through and achieve that personal record, I think is something that is tremendously beneficial for someone on an emotional level. And so that's what I safely, that's one of the first two that I want to bring to the table tonight. is just going through and going for those personal records. I think there is something so tremendously satisfying about that, which can give you motivation to go on and to continue your training.
Yeah, I agree. That is awesome.
And so, from that, I want to go through and pivot to almost kind of a different style. And so if the first one that we're going through is to go through and set those personal records where you're really going through and tracking, you know, how much you're lifting and the amount of pounds that you're doing, again, back when we had the time change, I experienced something that was a little bit different. And so it was Sunday here, whenever that was, a few weeks back. And admittedly, I was being pretty lazy around the house. You know, it was a thing where I was watching movies and I was just kind of taking the day off. And so it was getting kind of late in the day. And I still think, even though I know they're not a sponsor, one of the best investments that I've made with my training is the Apple Watch that I wear. And so the Apple Watch goes through and you go through and you set the program of what you want to do. But so it tracks how many hours you're standing throughout the day. It tracks the amount of your exercise, and then it also goes through and just tracks your general movement. And so I have my Apple Watch set to where I want to do a minimum of at least 600 active calories a day. It's not a tremendous amount, admittedly, and if there's ever a day where I do take a day off from the gym, getting to about 600 calories just, you know, at my work and stuff like that, that's usually about average, you know, so I can get to around 600 calories. In fact, just right now today, after having done cardio mainly today, I have recorded 1,094 calories. So that
wow.
kind of gives you an idea that, you know, with my exercise, but again, it's only 1,000 calories that I've gone through and burned. And so that 600 calories that I want to get to, so it keeps a record. And it's almost like playing a video game, you know, where they give you those incentives of, hey, you know, you've achieved this many goals today. And so it does. It keeps you on track. It keeps you on pace. And so I was a little bit worn down. And we talked about building the four pillars. So it's the idea that I've built my program around, which is where you're building your four pillars so that way you have a stable house. So you're building yourself physically. You're building yourself socially. You're building yourself intellectually, but then you're also building yourself emotionally. And on that particular day, for whatever reason, I was emotionally drained. And, you know, so I've been physically tired. I've been intellectually tired. But I think emotionally tired is one of the worst things that you can go through because it's draining. And then that can lead to a level of instability that can bleed over into, you know, poor sleep, and then it creates just this self-perpetuating downward spiral. And so I didn't want to lose that streak that I've been on. It's over a 300-day streak at this point. It's basically since I started using the Apple Watch as a Christmas gift.
Uh-huh.
And so that's kept me on focus. And so I said, well, I don't really want to drive all the way up to the gym. For me to go to the gym, it's like a 12-minute drive one way. And so I was like, man, I said, I'm just going to run up to the track. So the town that I live in, Adair, it's really small. But so there's a track around our football field for our high school. So it's always open. You just go up there and just walk. And so I went up there with just the sole motivation of just close your ring, you know, just go through. I was at 300 calories at that point. So I was like, let's just go up there and we'll do 300 calories just so we can go through and we can close our ring.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, I'm also, I'm emotionally exhausted. And
okay.
So then I just started walking. And so it's late in the day. And the time change has just occurred, you know, so the sun is setting and it's doing its thing. But so I start walking. Weather is still nice. I mean, wearing shorts, the sun is setting. I had some music on in my headphones, but I had it down low. And normally I like to do my cardio. I'll do it indoors at the gym and I do it on a treadmill because the treadmill, one, I can increase the incline, which makes it more difficult. So if for the amount of time that I'm working, I like to increase that incline to make it a little more difficult. And at the same time, it forces me to keep a pace. And so if you're just out and walking around the track, it's easier for you to lose that pace when fatigue starts to set in, and then you have to kind of keep pushing yourself, to get around the track in the time that you want. But I wasn't up there to break any sort of land speed records or anything like that. I just wanted to walk. And so I went up there just, again, with the intent just to close my ring. But again, I'm out in nature and the weather is nice and I've got, some nice music on, but it's low. So I can think and I can entertain my thoughts, So I talked to my mom, who has been passed away since 2005. She didn't really have a lot to say back, but I talked to her.
Uh-huh.
And so here I am, and I'm going. And I was like, okay, let's just do one more lap. And I said, I'm trying to straighten these things out. I'm trying to get myself emotionally, connected to where I need to be. So I said, let's just do one more lap. And I said, let's just do one more lap. So we get to the end, and I end up doing over 2 miles just because I'm out there walking. And while I'm doing this, this is the exact opposite of everything that I just told you as far as keeping track of your numbers, keeping track of, what we were talking about before. In this, it was just me walking. I didn't care about the calories that I was burning. I didn't care about my pace. I didn't care about the difficulty. I know it's weird for me to come back and say, I did 2 miles when I tell you that I didn't care about how far I walked. I was out there for my emotional health. And the more I started talking to myself, I started to work things out. And as I'm working things out, then I'm not concerned about the distance I'm going. I'm just trying to sort through all the stuff that I'm going through. And our minds keep us from going farther than our bodies are capable of. It's our mind that wants to give up before our bodies do. And so I'm just going through and I'm just going to walk and I'm just going to go through and I'm going to sort all this thing out. And so what I found so compelling, so we've talked in the past about Ryan Holiday, who has tremendous books, The Obstacle is the Way and How Ego is the Enemy. So he's basically a modern reincarnation of Marcus Aurelius, who's the father of Stoic philosophy. And Marcus Aurelius and a lot of other great Greek names that I would butcher if I tried to pronounce them. But Stoic philosophy talks about how 90% of our lives out of our control. And so we can't control 90% of it, but we can control how we react to it.
Right.
And so, so I'm out there and I'm walking, I'm just trying to sort through everything. And by the time I got to the end, I had not come up with a single solution, because what had left me so emotionally drained, I had no control over, but I talked it out, and maybe just me getting out and moving and getting my energy flowing. And, it reminded me that it will all go through and work out. And so again, it goes back to this concept of health, and it goes back to this concept of health and happiness. And that's really what I want for people. Whenever I tell people that, hey, you should come with me to the gym, it's not because, it's me saying, hey, I think you could stand to lose a few pounds. That's not it. I want you to feel that same level of energy that I feel. And so my second piece of motivation, aside from monitoring your personal records, is that get outside. I mean, if you're feeling down, get outside, get some fresh air, exercise in the light, even if it is in the dying light of the day, which it kind of, in a way, I almost have to recommend, because the sunset was beautiful. And so here's me just out here appreciating nature and appreciating life. And so again, I thought it was fantastic that at the end, I had no solution. I had no solution to the problem that I was dealing with, but just by me getting out and getting my energy flowing, somehow the weight didn't seem as oppressive. And it was like I started to come to grips with the fact, okay, well, you don't have any control over it, so you can't really be upset about it. But getting out into nature, I know it seems like such a simple thing for people to do, but it wasn't something that I had done in a really long time because I'd been working out in the gyms. You know, I've been working out indoors. And so sometimes we come along and we present these answers that seem so incredibly simple. Then when you say, wow, I kind of wish, why hadn't someone told me that? And so as I'm out there and I'm doing my walk and I'm enjoying my nature, it's kind of one of those things. I mean, everything that we talk about here, it's all anecdotal. This is all the stuff that I've learned from me doing it personally. And so for me to come along, so for all I know, what I really hope is that right now there's a listener, and if they're going through some tough times, then I get it. Mm-hmm. And I've been there. And, you know, as they say, well, you can't run away from your problems. Well, I don't know. Maybe you can, you know, or at the very least, so get back out into nature, have, you know, experience the joy, the glory that is a sunset while you're out there, you know, physically exerting yourself. And for whatever reason that I cannot even begin to explain why, I just know this is what happened for me. And everything just kind of lined up, you know, all the puzzle pieces all started to fit back into place. And I felt I felt so much better getting into my car than I felt when I was getting out of it, you know. Uh-huh. So just going through and doing that and just experiencing that level, that's the level of peace that I would love for the listeners to be able to experience.
Wow.
I know it's a simple thing, and so it's kind of one of those things that I hope that it's just that's what I want. I want your listeners to be able to go through and improve themselves emotionally. I think that's one of the single most important things that I've come across in this journey that I've been on for the last few years is to go through and develop that emotional health. And I know it can seem somewhat strange to the uninitiated that going through and lifting these weights and setting them, you know, back down is going to be a thing that's going to bring you peace and calmness. But it's the thing that has probably helped me the most out of everything, as much as it has improved me socially and physically and intellectually over the last 9 years, the amount that it's done for me emotionally has been that's the single most thing that I'm the most proud of.
I find with me too that, you know, basically simplifying goes a long way towards succeeding. And it also like fuels motivation. Like I also, like you, explored and saw very clearly that for me, the physique that I was trying to build embodies a certain outlook that I ascribed to and wanted to embody and express. So it was, you know, partially a great deal for optimal wellness and health, but it was also an aesthetic, you know, that this was the body that the people in the Sword and Sandal movies had, and that the people in the ancient Greek statues of the gods and the heroes had. So that became what I was trying to embody and express. So it got rid of a lot of just accepting that. Got rid of a lot of things that were confusing it or interfering with it. And then also the fact that it was humanly possible to get such a physique because people posed for those statues and actors were hired for those movies. So what I was striving for, although it might be difficult in some ways to me and it might take longer than I would like, it was possible. It was humanly possible and therefore attainable, and other people had done it. And then it became an individual adventure when I discovered that there were no answers, that what works for me might not work for you and vice versa. So although there's a ton of information, all of it contradictory, by the way, we don't even really know how much protein we need. But the question isn't how much protein do we need, it's how much protein do you need as an individual. And that varies from person to person, from time to time. So they're too exploring, getting clarity and trying different things out, and knowing that they're only going to work for a little while. That's what makes it a lifelong adventure. And if you simplify it to that, each of the different aspects of it and each of the different spheres in your life, then it's something that actually you can attain to and you can succeed at. And during the journey, you will change and your goals might change, and that's okay. A lot of people hold on to things that they no longer wish to do and beat themselves up when they're not doing it. So the self-examination that you are involved in and how you do things, that is just as important as the journey to be healthy, because you're going to apply it to any type of journey that you're on in life.
Yes, and I agree with everything that you're saying there. And so that's one of the reasons why I like to go through. And so, again, going back to that intellectual pillar, so we're going through, and we are living in such a fantastic age where there is a plethora of information. But at the same time, I want people to I want to go through and build their gym IQ, because there are some people who abuse the algorithms that are in social media, and you know, so that way they'll go through and they'll spout a fairly out there theory. But then, as a result, the further out there that they are, the more the algorithm is going to take notice of them, and so they're saying things that aren't necessarily that may not end up working for an individual. And so that's where it's going through and building these different techniques. And so, as you said, the bodies are going to change, the goals are going to change, and then we have to go through and shock those muscles every once in a while in order to continue that growth, because of what's called the law of diminishing returns. So if you do the same thing over and over and over again, you're not going to see the level of growth. So every once in a while, you need to come along and shock those muscles by those muscles experiencing something that maybe they haven't before. And the first time you should go through and you start any sort of new exercise, where if you see something like, okay, I think I might want to try to throw that into my routine, as you go through, so your body starts out and it doesn't quite understand what you want it to do. And so it takes a little bit of time for it to understand, oh, okay, so this is the movement that I want you to make. And so then as it begins to understand, oh, this is what you want me to do, then you'll start to see those weight totals begin to increase, because your body's starting to understand. But then eventually that the amount of weight that you're lifting, that's going to start to fall off. And that's where it's important to go through and find different ways. We're not saying that necessarily that you have to reinvent the entire wheel, but just every once in a while, you need to go through and you can change it as simple as the amount of weight that you're lifting, the time that you're keeping it under tension. You know, there's all sorts of different stuff that you can do. And so here just real recently, I've only had a few days to play with this, but the science that they have presented for this style, I think it works. And I'll explain the reason why. So one of the things that I would like to recommend for your audience as a way to go through, it may end up being a superior way to build muscle. And it's a lifting style known as long length partials. And so one of the things that has been the tried and true method for decades, which it obviously works, is what's called the full range of motion. And so what you're wanting to do is you're wanting to, so let's say, for instance, on a bench press, you want to go through, you want to lower the bar all the way down to your chest, and then you want to go through and you want to push it all the way up so that your arms will lock out. So you're getting that full range of motion. You're moving your arms as far as you can. But now they're going through and they're attaching these sensors to muscles, and so they're figuring out, you know, where the peak contraction is. And so they're using science to go through and improve these things. And so what they've found is that the beginning of the movement, or more accurately, when the muscle is stretched the farthest, that's where the majority of the heavy lifting is going to take place. So, for instance, if you're in a barbell bench press, so when the bar is resting down on your chest, that muscle is stretched the farthest that it will be at the beginning of that lift. So now what they're recommending is you going through and doing partial reps where you're only lifting the bar, say, about 50% of the total height, and then dropping it back down. So you're doing these partial reps where the muscle is stretched out the farthest. And so by going through and doing this, what it reminded me of, okay, so we've talked about how I love using bands. I think they're absolutely fantastic for contracting the muscles, just because whenever you're lifting those weights, that whenever you're lifting, say, a standard dumbbell, if you're going to fail, it's going to be within that 90-degree angle. When your elbow gets that 90-degree angle, if you can get past that 90-degree, then everything beyond that is pretty – it becomes easier in order for you to lift that. So then if we switch that up and we start using bands, with bands, the farther that you stretch those bands, the more difficult it becomes to lift those weights. So it's just – so by alternating between bands and dumbbells, we're not saying one is better than the other. You're just getting a different pump with the equipment that you're using. So now if we go through and we apply that same idea of where that first part, so if you're going to fail, it's going to be within that 90 degrees. So what we're doing is we're only doing the amount of exercise where, so if it's going to be, let's say, a dumbbell curl, okay, so when your arm is down by your side, that's when your bicep is stretched out the most. And so what they're saying is that by going through and doing these long-length partials, you'll go through and you'll end up developing greater muscle. So the good thing is that, so they went through and they did a variety of scientific tests. And so they did 8 tests of the short-length partials. So again, if the long-length partial is where you're lifting the weight from, let's say, if you're looking at it like it's a clock, and the weight is sitting at a 6, and if you go to 9, that would be considered a long-length partial. But then there's also a thing called a short-length partial, which is where you're lifting the weight from, say, 9 o'clock up to technically about 11:30. So this is kind of it's similar to what they call a 21 curl. A 21 curl is where you're basically doing 7 reps, where you're doing 7 reps in long length, then you're doing the full lift, and then for the last 7 reps, you're doing short length partials. So they've done this before, and it's a way to really get your arms really going. So
yes,
this is kind of that same. It's that same style, but hey, we're just going to do these for so out of the 8 tests that they conducted. So they did. They compared a short length partial versus a long length partial, and on 7 out of 8 of the tests, the long length partials showed better results. And that 8th outlier test, it showed no difference. There was no study that favored the short length partials. So what they're saying is that these long length are going to be, that's the superior method. But then they went through and they did 5 tests of full range of motion versus long-length partials. And again, in that, 4 long-length partials out of the 5 showed more muscle growth. And again, the outlier showed no difference. So there was no study that favored the full range of motion. So if we're going through and we're looking at these studies, okay, this is a great thing to add in to your routine. Now, what we're talking about is not strictly using long-length partials for every single exercise. But the gentleman who was explaining this to me, he was explaining how if you go through and say you're doing a lat pull down, and so it's all the way, so your arms are all the way stretched above your head and you're pulling that weight down and you're hoping to hit your chest. And if you get to a point where you can't hit your chest anymore, that's where a lot of the people who practice the full range of motion, that's where they would stop, because it's like, well, okay, I can't get it down to my chest anymore. But you know what? Your back might still have a little bit of gas in that tank. So instead, what we'll do is we'll just do a series of long-length partials at the end And as a result, you're getting a little bit more reps in. So by going through and adding that in, you're now finding a way to shock those muscles. I'm still in the middle of testing this phase. So I don't really have all the data yet, but so far it feels great. And one of the things that I was doing is I was going through and doing 4 long length partials on a bench press on a Smith machine. And then I would go through, so I would do the 4 and then I would do 1 rep with a full range of motion. So it's, so you're doing those 1, 2, 3, 4. And then for that 5th, I'm going all the way up to that full range of motion. And so then what I'm doing is I'm not counting it as 20 reps. I'm counting to 5, 4 times. And there's this weird little psychological trick where it's, I only have to lift it 5 times instead of counting to 20, where you become a little bit stronger. So that's where I think that. So these long length partials, I'm still in the middle of testing it, but I think it could actually end up being tremendously beneficial. And I was just curious if you had used this technique in the past.
I've never used that technique. I've used bits and pieces of it, but I haven't used that technique.
So that'll be something if you want to go through and throw that into your routine. I'm in the middle, of incorporating it myself. And then hopefully next month we'll have more data as to figure out if this works or not.
You reminded me about 21s. I haven't used 21s in a while, but I used to enjoy them. So 21s, I'm definitely adding this coming week to my arm workout. And they do. They pump up the bicep really, really well because you're doing halfway up, halfway down to the middle, and then fulls. And that really, really pumps up the energy. If you follow it with like tricep extensions, it gets your whole arm.
Well, so one of the things that we're talking about here, and we're talking about health. And so one of the more important things, so in going through both in lifting weights, but then also I wanted to present a little bit of data that we had that I learned about. I'm sorry, give me just 1 second.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's something in the air tonight, but I'm working through it. But I want people to look at cardio. And so I know I've complained on here about doing cardio a lot. I'll admit it. And some of the influencers will tell you that cardio is worthless if you want to lose weight. Don't listen to those people because all exercise is good exercise. And
right.
just a quick aside, the last time that we talked, it happened like a week, maybe that we had it the most, but the writer's strike ended. Oh, thank goodness. So they had been back for all of about a week. And the actor strike is now over too, so I'm really hoping that they'll so that industry is going to get back up and going. But I had forgotten how much I rely on watching those late night comedy monologues during my cardio. For me, I'm watching it all on YouTube, so whether or not it aired at 12 o'clock last night, it's all brand new to me. So watching those videos and distracting me is so. So beneficial. It improves. It makes a fairly repetitive and let's be honest, somewhat boring activity. It makes that a little bit more easier to manage. And so, one of the things that we have talked about here in the past is, unfortunately, there's a problem where everyone wants this easy way out. They're all hoping for a magic pill, taking these. Yeah, these weight loss shots that really only work as long as you stay on the medicine. So it's a whole big thing. And so here is a great reason as men why we should go through and we should all be doing cardio. So there's scientists analyzed 11 different studies to determine the relationship between aerobic exercise and erectile dysfunction. And so the problem. So if you're ever having since I know it's a family show. And so if you're ever having trouble below the belt, typically it's often because of a blood flow issue. And so cardiovascular exercise was effective at reversing the problem and then just going through and boosting heart health. So I know we talked about this, and again, so this is where things that we've talked about in the past, the reason why I think that this study is accurate is because we talked about here in one of the many times that we've come on here and talked about how there was a study for depression. And right. So there were all these people that were feeling really bad, and so a psychiatrist came along and said, you know, hey, maybe instead of putting you on a medication that alters your brain chemistry, let's go through and let's put you in the weight room just to, and we'll see what happens. And for a significant number of these people, the weight program of lifting weights, it went through and it worked. I'm talking about 90% of people said that they felt better after going through and getting weight. And then out of those, it was like 60% of those said that they felt significantly better because they're going through and they're doing this training. So again, let's take it back to me going up and walking up at the track and just sorting things out. But it's just, unfortunately, we live in this era now where people, they just want to pop a pill because now you got to tell me I got to get on this treadmill for X amount of time. But so basically what we're talking about here, the doctors, some of them can be pretty quick to prescribe someone Viagra or testosterone replacement therapy, but it's possible that just getting on the treadmill, it might be a natural cure. And so the good thing is researchers found that committing anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes of exercise 3 to 5 days per week provided the desired benefit. And I still contend that's because movement is medicine. I do. I honestly believe that. And for many, exercise and getting to a healthier weight can be the antidote if you're having that problem. Well, so even if you're just going to go through and do the minimum, so it's 30 minutes for 3 times a day or 3 days a week. So if you're doing 30 minutes 3 days a week, well, that's 90 minutes. That's where we go back to the CDC is recommending 150 minutes. Of activity. So instead of maybe getting that prescription for a pill, you can go through and you can get on the treadmill and you're going to see a boost. Now, the catch to this is that improvements were dependent upon your current health status. So in other words, the worse that your cardiovascular condition and the more excess weight that you have on the body, the more the aerobic exercise provides a lift. So almost everyone saw changes, but by performing exercises, but for healthier people, the improvements weren't quite as significant. So it's a thing. So for men, I think if you're having that issue, then by going through and jumping on that treadmill and doing something that we don't necessarily want to do because again, cardio is boring, but by going through and doing that, it may end up being a solution for the problem.
That seems like a very reasonable thing to do if that's a problem that you have and you want to solve it.
Without having to go through and take a pill. And so that's I know that tends to be our issue nowadays. We're still trying to learn all of the effects that are coming from these people that are taking the Ozempic shots, I think that's going to end up causing a series of problems down the road that we haven't necessarily anticipated at this point, as well as they're taking medicine away from people who need it for the legit intent that it was intended for. But so this is where I go back to this same concept of where, again, movement is medicine. And as I was reading about this study about cardio improving your blood flow, again, it's immediately where my mind went back to with that study about depression. And so now, by all means, I understand I've been in there have been some times where I have been sad. I won't go so far as to say that I've been depressed, because again, mm-hmm. just to go through and lay the terms out there so people understand what I'm talking about. So it's real clear. For me, depression is where you have a sadness and you don't know why. You don't have something that you can point to and say, this is the thing that's making me sad. So now I have been sad, but there's no amount of pill that would go through and remedy, because I knew what the problem was that was making me feel bad. Uh-huh. And so then once I went through and removed that issue out of my life, medication for me wasn't needed. I'm not saying that medication doesn't work, but for a lot of people, it's like, maybe we should try this first. Again, before we go through and we start taking these pills, they're going to alter our brain chemistry. And so instead of going through, and so if you're experiencing this problem, well, let's go through and let's jump on the treadmill. And so we're going through and we're developing that cardiovascular health. And so then as a result, this medication isn't needed. I mean, anything where we can go through and we can be healthier, and I think that leads to happier, I think those are always good things. So if it's an issue that people are dealing with, yes, by all means, try the cardio first and then go and see your doctor later if that ends up still being the problem.
I have attention deficit disorder. It's undiagnosed, but I used to be in the human services field and I worked in psychiatric institutions. So I'm familiar with the symptoms, and attention deficit disorder has been called like the hunter and the farmer civilization disease. Your brain works slightly differently. Fortunately, that type of brain is also very helpful now during the information age. But anyway, the attention deficit disorder has a psychothymic component, which means that you experience elation and depression type of states. And
okay.
they're a roller coaster type of things. And I learned how to ride the roller coaster when I studied attention deficit disorder. And I found that it helped me not to be free from up and down states, but to utilize them. So now when I find myself going down, and the roller coaster is nowhere near as extreme as it was when I was younger. Now things seem to have settled in my psyche to a great deal. It puts me in touch with what in my life needs to be changed or addressed or what I'm not happy about. And then when I felt the elated part of the roller coaster ride, I had the energy and the confidence to do something about it. So this was something that people suffered, and I used it as part of my working on myself.
So is the roller coaster less extreme because of the time that you spent dealing with all of this, or is it more because you know how to, would the roller coaster be less extreme if you were a younger man but knew how to deal with it? Or is it just that the journey that you've gone on has made the roller coaster less extreme?
I can't really answer the question because I don't know exactly. But I do know that until you get control of the roller coaster, you seem victimized by it. But if you're no longer, it's no longer something beyond your control or beyond your ability to control. Once you can see that it happens, and at that point there's like nothing you can do about it, you're going to go on this roller coaster ride whether you like it or not. So you begin to accept this as so, and then you know you figure out what it's trying to communicate and how you can best use that communication. So the attention deficit disorder gave me a model of my brain that gave a picture of how my brain optimally functioned and how it functioned differently. And also the cyclothymic components, the ups and the downs, the elation, the depression, they lie. You think that when you're going through that particular phase that it's going to last forever, and it never does. So the depression doesn't last forever, and neither does the elation. But each of them brings you to a different place. So since it continuously brought me to that place, I figured since I'm on this roller coaster, what can I learn from the roller coaster? And then I saw that the roller coaster afforded me advantages rather than something that than being something that was victimizing me. So when I was sad or melancholy or depressed, whatever you want to call it, it was very clear to me what I was unhappy with or what I was sad about. And so I saw it very clearly, and I knew it because there it was. But then when the elation happens, you think that you're immortal and that you can do anything. So that's the type of energy and outlook I need to address things. So I used it. That made me unhappy or that I wasn't content with, I now have the confidence and the energy to change it, to do something different until I found
okay.
what worked. And then it became less extreme. Go ahead.
You used a term there, cyclothymic. Can you define that for me?
I don't remember exactly what it means. It's been decades since I was involved very deeply in the human services. But it's just that the ups and downs, you know, from elation
okay.
to depression, you know, that it goes up and then it goes down, and it goes up and it goes down, and it's unpredictable to the extent that although sometimes something set it off and it one follows the other, you don't know how long you're going to be up or down, and that's where the lie of it is, and you're going to be stuck there forever. You're just going to be stuck there for as long as you're down or up, So once I saw that and once I trusted that, okay, it's going to happen anyway, so I don't want to feel victimized by anything. So how can I take advantage of the fact that my consciousness, for whatever reason, is bringing me to these places? So I saw that, what do you call it? A lot of people don't know why they're sad. If I'm in a dark place, I know how to relax myself through meditation and see what thoughts come to mind in a very short period of time or what I'm telling myself. That'll tell me what I'm not happy about. And, you know, then you realize too that you're not seeing things clearly when you're in these places. You're either in a very dark place or a very bright place, and there's all these middle places. So your perspective is from being in the dark or being in the light. And so... it's just a perspective. So this is a perspective that's being provided. How can I use this perspective? And I'm so sorry. I'm capitalizing on your. I'm taking.
No.
Yeah, we only have like three
yep,
minutes. 3 minutes. Left. I'm sorry.
Then what we'll do is we will table that discussion because I do find it fascinating and I would love to know more about that.
Sure.
And since I know we're running out of time, so let me just, if I can close with this, you know, we're going through the same way that eating one salad is not going to make you healthy. You know, the same way as, hey, give me the quadruple double cheeseburger with the gravy fries and a Diet Coke.
Right.
That's not going to go through it and make you healthy. So just eating that one salad, you're not going to have abs after one day. So let's go through and let's take that exact same model and now let's flip it. And just remember for everyone, eating one incredibly rich, calorically dense meal is not going to completely derail your progress. So my son is going to be here at the house for the first time since June. And so we have so much stuff that's going to be revolving around cooking. I'm chaining him to the oven because he's a much better cook than I am, and I've missed his hamburgers so tremendously
awesome.
In the time that he's been gone. So yeah, so we're really excited about it. So please, for everyone listening, enjoy Thanksgiving. That one bad meal is not going to derail you. Please, turkey's got a lot of protein in it. It's fine. But to just go through. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Again, as I said, we can be optimal for all the other times, but for this holiday coming up, which is centered entirely around eating, please, by all means, even if you're in training, still enjoy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. That's a wonderful place to end it. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Ryan. And
thank you very much.
Thank you for another wonderful and thoughtful show, and to be continued.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
To you too, and to everybody. Good night to all.